Good morning. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. We're here every Friday from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, bringing you some of the important news of the day. We're going to start off talking a little bit about our organization.
Wilp stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. 103.5 FM.
And we are celebrating this year our 75th birthday. We have been in this community since 1935, which is pretty amazing, considering that the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom is a very progressive and at times very radical organization. And we are hoping the community will join with us on November 20th. We are going to have a big party and with the community about this. It'll be at the community church from 5 to 9. And we hope you'll mark your calendars and think about coming. We're here waiting for our guest, Michelle Laws, who is the president of the NAACP, and she's coming here from Durham, and I think I hear her at the door. Our engineer is Dick Paddock, and he is going to open the door. So the other thing that I want to mention is that on August 8th, there will be a dinner at the Unitarian Church, the Eno Fellowship, and good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
And that will be concerning immigration reform, and we'll have more information about it next week. I'm not sure of the time, but I do know the place and the topic. Good morning, Michelle. I'm very, very, very glad to see you.
I appreciate you waiting. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. I know you're coming from Durham, and I thought maybe you got into a traffic thing. So we're here to talk about the NAACP and your recent efforts with the Wake County School Board and what that's about. Some of our listeners being in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, we have a lot of them, I may not know how critical this issue is and why you've been willing to be arrested because of your concern and care about this issue. So can we start there?
Oh, certainly. First, I want to say good morning to you.
Good morning.
I think, really, you know, for me, as a native of Chapel Hill and Carrboro, I remember so fondly our rich history of getting involved in issues across the state, serving as a lighthouse for progressive politics, for social justice. And so for me, it was important that I joined, and with our state president, in the fight for equity in education in Wake County.
And I just want to point out, we're talking about the NAACP.
NAACP.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So our president, Dr. William J. Barber II, has stood on the forefront with the front lines with residents of Wake County. And he's made such an inspiring appeal to all of the branch presidents who felt so moved and who had the support of their branch members to join in the fight for Wake, the reversal of the diversity policy, school policy that the current school board has enacted.
And maybe you could tell us a little bit about that. As I say, some of our listeners may not be paying attention to this issue, and just briefly tell us what happened in Wake County. Okay. Why are you concerned?
Right. So Wake County has served, up until this current school board administration, Wake County for several years has served as a model across the nation for how you do diversity planning the right way, using, of course, one of the long-standing instruments or methods that was used during the 50s and 60s, and that is busing. So using the busing to take kids out of their neighborhoods into other a school district, a school, I'm sorry, within the school district that's outside of their neighborhood to ensure that there's integration based on race and in weight based on race and income. And so they were doing it, and they were doing it right. And what I mean by right is that they were doing it up to until last this year, yeah. when with the new school board, they were doing it in a way that was not creating an undue burden on the parents. That most of the kids, Reverend Barber has quoted research that was done, most of the kids are not bused anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes outside of their their home, their neighborhoods. But it was to ensure that there was equity and diversity in by race and socioeconomic status.
I hope people realize that the need for this is because the housing is so segregated.
Almost definitely. And
I just want to bring that to people's attention. And also, even without diversity, most kids are bused.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's a good point. And that takes me to the next point. I've been asked, you know, why is this a fight for you as president of the Chapel Hill Carborough branch? And what's so wrong with neighborhood schools? And I remind people that in Chapel Hill, we basically have neighborhood schools. You don't have kids that go, you know, cross town to schools. We've done a wonderful job with keeping kids very close to their home and placing and allowing enrollment in home schools with some choice, of course. The issue for us is not a big concern in terms of neighborhood schools, because we've been fortunate where there are pockets of poverty and low-income residents. They've been built up around by very affluent neighborhoods. And so we're not concerned about whether or not there are schools that are not getting resources that they need in order to better prepare or to prepare our children to excel and to exceed in this global marketplace once they get out of high school and once they get out of college. Or community college or vocational training, whichever they choose. And so for us, I tell them that our concerns are a bit different, because we unfortunately see segregation happening within the schools. So we see, you know, as you well know, we address the issue of the honors, the expansion of the honors classes at the high school, and it was disconcerting to us, because we know based on the data that African American and Hispanic and poor kids are more likely to be placed in lower or are in lower track or lower level classes than they are in the honors and the AP. And so we weren't saying that we were against honors classes, which we are certainly not. We want our children in Chapel Hill Carborough to leave this system as prepared as a child from a private school to succeed and to go on into college and to be very, very successful in their careers.
So part of the concern here is the allocation of resources. Are the most resources going into the kids who need it the least, and not enough resources going into the kids who need it the most?
Right. And that's the concern. So let's take this back to Wake.
Yes.
And so with Wake, the issue of neighborhood schools, the issue is that the neighborhoods are so segregated. And as a sociologist, there's been enough evidence, enough research by credible researchers, Douglas Massey, who's now at Princeton, Nancy Denton, who's at Sunny, New York, the University of New York, Sunny at Albany, did some work back in 1998, 93, that said, that looked at residential segregation as one of the main mechanisms by which racism and classism is manifest, or manifested and reproduced. And so, and then, of course, Douglas Massey came back later in 2007, I want to say, and published a book called Categorically Unequal, in which he looked at this issue again, and again he found that residential segregation is an issue that we should be concerned with. And one of the things that he points out is this exclusion that happens in the allocation in education mm-hmm. and what that does. So if you have some kids who have, and then inequitable distribution of resources. So if you have some kids who have access to schools that are highly resourced, that are well resourced, they've mm-hmm. got all the top notch technical, you know, mm-hmm. computers, and you know, they're wireless, and they've got mm-hmm. they're recruiting the best and the brightest teachers, and then across town you've got an all, you know, black or an all Hispanic classroom, school that doesn't have those resources. Conventional wisdom, as well as research, empirical findings from observations, show us that those kids across town are, there's a high probability that they are less likely to perform well because of lack of resources, because of, you know, the all those things that poverty correlates to, right? And so parental involvement, that's been touted as one of the reasons why they wanted to redo this the diversity plan, mm-hmm. is so that quote unquote parents could be more involved. Well, I'm questioning really what parents they're talking about, because if we look at the data, letting data drive our decisions to act and respond in WAKE and not our emotions. If we look at the data, most of the kids' parents, if based on assessments from teachers, those that we know can get involved are involved. Mm-hmm. But if you have situations like, say, the WAKE County School Board, you got meetings at 3:00 in the afternoon.
Ooh.
You're automatically eliminating a large, quite a considerable mm-hmm. number of parents who can't get involved. Mm-hmm. So it gets down to really who will benefit from this. Mm-hmm. And we believe that
This is a new school board.
Yes.
And they, mm-hmm. they ran on wanting to do away with the diversity.
Yep.
They were very blatant about it. Not that many people voted.
No, it was less than 5%. It was about 4.6 or 4.5% of the voters that came out.
So it's sort of like a takeover.
Almost definitely.
And not just changing the policy a little bit, but just throwing it out the window. Didn't the superintendent
within a week's time when they were there? That was the first order of business.
Yeah.
And there was no. Okay, so we're talking about a democracy here, right?
Yeah. Trying to reach it.
right. And so there was no public. They said that they made announcements for public hearings. 3:00 again. I'm going back to this. This issue of who you really are talking about, because many of the kids in poor communities, as we know, parents work, and so at 3:00, and they work jobs where they are beholden to their supervisors, and to it's not as easy, say, as it is for me or for other people, to get off mm-hmm. and to go to a school board meeting at 3:00 in the afternoon.
And some of that other 95%, some of those other people, even in middle class neighborhoods these days, people have to work. So
right.
I mean, they're really
cutting out a lot of people. That's exactly right. So they did, you know, so they say, well, we went through the process. We went through the appropriate processes. We had hearings on this and got feedback from parents. Well, parents that have congregated and rallied with us said that they before they even knew it, it was done. It was a done deal. And that some even said that they had submitted, like Aaron Bird, they had submitted written comment. They don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they had submitted their comments and that they were active. And they, nothing had, no response, no. Mm-hmm. So we do think that this is politically driven.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they have received quite a bit of support, substantial support from this group on the far right. And
I wondered about that.
Yes, and we know also that whenever, you know, for me it was also an issue of, as you know, my godchildren, we have temporary custody of my godchildren. So we really co-parent with their mother because the goal is, you know, family preservation and so forth. But anyway, so I had my goddaughter with me. And for me, it also beyond this appeal, responding to the appeal of our state president, and understanding that if it happens in Wake, it sets a precedent for exactly. the rest of the state. And I definitely did not want people in Chapel Hill to think that we would sit back and allow that something like mm-hmm. that to happen in Chapel Hill. And again, like I said, you know, we already have what is very similar to what I guess the model of neighborhood schools, but it's very politically driven. We do know that the term neighborhood schools was used back in the Nixon days to really incite division by whites and between whites and conservatives and between white liberals and blacks.
So it's a code word.
It's a code word, mm-hmm. and we know that mm-hmm. it's taken out of what Dr. Tim Tyson reminds us all the time from Duke, and also many may know him from his work "Blood Done Signed My Name." Mm-hmm. What Dr. Tim Tyson reminds us is the old Southern strategy, mm-hmm. and the strategy is to use these words that seem innocuous or yes. seems harmless. Who would be against the neighborhood school?
Yeah.
And actually, I've had people from different walks of life. I've had more criticism, actually, from members of the African American community about my protesting against what really? They believe would be an excellent strategy to this academic achievement gap. And I have to remind them, you know, you have to be very careful, because we're not talking about back in the 50s and 60s, because many of the people who have voiced that kind of concern have been older. And they came out of that era where, for example, Lincoln High School, I have a person who I respect wholeheartedly, and just, admire. But they came to me and they said, we lost so much with integration. Uh-huh. And I used to hear my mom say that. I used to hear my father say that. Uh-huh. But they had that bitter aftertaste of the earlier years of the transition from Lincoln High School mm-hmm. to Chapel Hill High.
Which was done
very poorly. Mm-hmm. And you had people who, for example, a lot of the archives, the memorabilia from Lincoln mm-hmm. was mysteriously lost in that short little transport from Lincoln to the new high school.
So not only are you trying to educate the general public, but even some of the older African Americans not quite understanding, and we get suckered by that cozy little term, neighborhood school. Absolutely. But I want to take a break, Michelle,
okay.
and catch your breath,
okay.
and let people know that this is Wilp's Wake Up Call, and we're here every Friday from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, and we are so happy that we have a wonderful support from Internationalist Bookstore. They're our underwriter, and they're at 405 West Franklin Street. This is a bookstore that also has a history that we can talk about in some other program, run by volunteers, and it's been going for, about 25 years, something like that, Dick? And they have books that you're not going to get in your big box bookstores. Also, it's a community resource. You can go in there and find out all the progressive happenings that are going on around the area. If you want some information without getting in your car in the hot weather and going down there, go to internationalistbooks.org. And I just want to remind you, if you're having trouble, because this is a low power station, that you can stream us at live at WCOMFM.org. And please consider doing that. And the other thing, I'm giving you a lot of numbers, and I forgot to remind people to get their pen and paper ready, because at the end of the program, I think Michelle will probably give us some numbers or ways to get more information. But with WILP, you could go to our website, trianglewilp.org, and WILP is spelled WILPF. Don't forget the P for peace, because that's an important part of who we are. And now we're very blessed to have with us today Michelle Laws, who is the president of the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP, who is definitely one of our very activist leaders, and the first woman to be leading the NAACP locally, which is another historic thing. And she's been really involved with Reverend Barber, the state head of the NAACP, with protesting this reversal, this attempt at resegregation in the Wake County schools. So let's pick up our story, Michelle.
I wanted to just really put out there that, because I know that a lot of the criticism that I have gotten has actually been in support of the Wake County School Board for one reason, and that is people reflecting back on the past and saying, we have failed miserably, some people believe, at integration and making sure that all children succeed. And we know that the schools are used in many ways as a way to reproduce social class and social inequality, and so we do have to have that discussion. However, I do believe that separate is never equal. It never was and it never will be, and the courts got it right when they ruled in 54, and Plessy v. Ferguson was wrong. You know, even for members of the African American community, older members whom I again respect so, that have pulled me aside and said, you know, we lost a lot when Lincoln had, when we had to go, when we were integrated, and if we could get back, well, but we also had a different sense of community. Our community was organized in a very different way, and so I can't, although I understand and appreciate their experiences, my experiences have been different, and I grew up in the integrated Chapel Hill school system. And you know, a lot of people have heard me mention her, one of my best friends from actually junior high on, is Kim Brigham, Mrs. Irene Brigham, and Dr. Brigham's daughter, and some may know her son Scotty Brigham, who is on the radio as well. But and so I look at my experiences and the experiences that I think that are important for all children to have currently where we are in this point in history as being one where we are integrated with others and where we get to learn from each other about our cultures and about our lived experiences. That only helps to make us better. And I think,
and if we're going to move into this global age.
That's exactly right.
We've got to learn to get along with all kinds of people. Things are changing.
Almost definitely. And our borders are becoming thinner, as you know, thanks to the internet and thanks to diplomatic policies and so forth, right? And so international development, health explorations, and work that we're doing abroad. And so when we talk about training our children, we're not talking about just preparing them for jobs in the Research Triangle Park like they used to talk about, right? We're talking about preparing them to travel across this wonderful world of ours. And we want them to represent us in a very fine way. We want them to, in a very diplomatic way. And the way to do that is to expose them into early on to other cultures and to other people.
And not only African-American kids gain from
everybody.
This, but white kids. Because white kids are going to be in a multicultural, multiracial world. And if they're just kept in a little white bubble, you know, they are not going to be prepared either.
No, I'm talking about all children.
All
I'm talking about all children.
But some people don't think of it that way. And I think they've got to open up their eyes and ears to the changing world, too.
Well, and those people, I think, some people, one, it's from this sense of hubris, I think, this sense of, you know, arrogance and entitlement that a lot of, unfortunately, that is oftentimes perpetuated by this notion of white privilege that has dominated throughout our history. And not only white privilege, but white male privilege. And I am also, I must mention, a proud member of WILF. And so it's very important that we understand that that's not the kind of ideology, those are not the kinds of practices and beliefs that we want to instill in our children to move our nation forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people fight against our president so hard, is because he is more of, I mean, he represents, I've often said that Dr. King was the dreamer and Barack Obama is the dreamer. dream manifest. Yeah. And so, you know, he represents this multicultural, this sense of humility as opposed to hubris in terms mm-hmm. of leader, being a world mm-hmm. leader. And, you know, he gets so much criticism. Why did he apologize for the United States? Why did he? And because it sets a good model for our children, for one, and for us in the world. And so I did it for a lot of reasons, and I will continue to support Wake County. I was
We haven't really talked too much about it. You were arrested. You were up at the podium. You had gotten a ticket. They had the whole thing
right.
very arranged. Mm-hmm. When you got there, there was this tremendously strong police presence, right?
Oh, most definitely. When we drove up on the grounds, I told my husband, I said, wow. It was almost like driving into a prison yard or something. So you had two prison transfer buses.
Ready,
off to
ready.
The side, ready. They had police crime scene tape that blocked off the back corridor of the parking lot, and they had created this barricade, so that you had to walk in between the barricade in order to pass these police officers. You had police officers on horses, police officers on horses.
Oh my gosh.
And then when you went in, you had officers like at every floor, and it was just mind-blowing. Oh, it was very shocking, because I'm thinking, you know, we've just left a Democratic state and walked into a police state.
Yeah. And I mean, when you told me about that, I was just absolutely appalled. But let's get to,
they had a helicopter.
Helicopter. Yeah.
And so some people said that it was the news, and other people said that it was police. And so I'm not really sure, but it on adding to what was already
the tension
on the ground.
The tension,
right.
The anxiety.
Right, exactly. And so we were inside. We had gotten our ticket. We went through the process, like they said, in a very peaceful way. We weren't demonstrating out. And, you know, they asked us to hold our signs down, totally obedient. So we went in and signed up to speak. And then I got word that Reverend Barber and some others had been arrested
before they even got there.
And I went outside, and there was seemingly just a little bit going on. And I said, everybody just remain peaceful. Reverend Curtis Gatewood and some others were also giving instructions. And I said, people, let's go on the inside, those of us who can get on the inside, and go ahead and go through the proceedings in terms of the school board. So I signed up to speak. Camelia Lee, a wonderful student. Former East Chapel Hill High School student and the daughter of Nancy McDermott,
okay.
who's a Wilfer and who's also a member of the NAACP.
Yes.
Her daughter went before us and gave this wonderful statement about her experiences attending Brown University and attending East Chapel Hill High. So anyway, I spoke. I know the time is winding up.
I'm going to have you back because
okay?
this is a big story.
I began to speak about why it's important and why I think that it was really barbaric to use our children for mm-hmm. political games. I think there are some things that should be off limits. Our children in any of our political games should be off limits.
Yes.
We should not include our kids. And that really has kept me moving. You mm-hmm. know, it's about these children. It's about our future.
So you got arrested.
And so I got arrested. I was speaking, and then the crowd, people just started coming up from behind and chanting forward ever, backwards never. No to desegregation, forward ever, backwards never. And Camille started singing, and then it just went off.
So you were arrested. There were 19 of us.
There were 16 that was arrested in my group, and then 3 that was arrested, including Reverend Barber, before.
So this is such a big story. We're getting some of the background and some of the reasons. And Michelle, we do want to have you back on. And I'll give you a little hint. We may be changing our time, and we may be going to an hour, because just like today, we could easily talk longer, because this is not a quick little story. This has got so many nuances and so much history and so much that is so important to all of us. I so appreciate your coming.
Thank you. Coming from Durham.
With the traffic this time of the morning is not easy. And again, I just want you, this is Is there some number you can give people before we close?
Actually, they can go on our website, www.chapelhill-carborough.com. www.NAACP.org, and there'll be a link there where they can hopefully access everything. There isn't a phone number. I do want to mention 10210, and I've got to come back and talk about that. That's an exciting event that will take place on our nation's capital October 2nd, 2010.
We're definitely going to have you back and have more about that. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and do we have time to give the...
No.
No.
Okay. This is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. See you in